how frequently are you asking the marketplace for money? If you can't remember the last time you ever did a pitch and aren't liking the amount of money in your hand right now, that's it. So think about, this is such a powerful concept that you can suck at being a salesperson and really only get like a sale every time. Just double your pitch volume, double the amount of people coming in to see the pitch, your company's gonna grow. Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. What's going on, everyone? It's Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. I've got a cool episode. I've done quite a bit of research for it. In fact, I've had this idea on my whiteboard to do this for quite a while, a number of months, and it just hadn't felt right. Didn't feel like it was a complete thought yet. And then yesterday, I actually did a Facebook Live talking about how I automate a funnel post-launch. All right, after the funnel's out the door, what do you do to keep it out the door? It used to be that I would go do all the work for a launch, right? I plan out the content, I'd plan out the ads for it, I'd plan out obviously the funnel, the offer, the messaging, the emails, all of it. All right, then you get to build the thing. Holy crap, that's another thing altogether. Then you actually do it. That's so much work, right? And it would be that at the end of the launch, I would turn back around and I would say, that was awesome. All right, let's take them to the next step in the valley ladder, meaning let's go launch something else. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's part of the plan, but it was one of the reasons why I had so many different funnels in the last, 5 years or whatever. So, I don't regret that, but I don't know that I would suggest that anymore either. It's such an easier model that I run now. And that's why I wanted to talk about this, is what do you do post-launch to actually remove you and not kill the funnel? And this is basically purely from a marketing sense. It's not like what I do as from a CEO's mindset to remove me from a funnel just really has to do with fulfillment systems, right? What's the process? Who's running it? How do we over deliver? How do we over communicate? How do I literally design that? And I draw it like a funnel. First box, this is what happens. Right, I have another episode about that. If you want to hear more about that, listen to the episode. It's in season two. It's called something to the effect of treating fulfillment like a funnel. And that's really what I mean. And from a CEO's mindset, that's about what I do. From a marketer's mindset, though, it's a little bit different. And this is such a key piece that for the last 2 or 3 years, this has been part of my pre-funnel building, planning, brainstorming session stuff now. About 3 years ago, that's really when I started it. But it was always the one that had still like some of the biggest question marks with it. And what I refer to it as evergreening, right? How do you evergreen the funnel? How do you make it so it's automated? Which is really some of the major reasons I know a lot of us get into the internet business is because of the ability to truly automate a business, or at least the sales of it. All right. I think there's still management involved in everything to some degree. I don't even know if passive income is a real thing, you know what I mean? Meaning there's still management somewhere, even if it's not by you. But all right, so here it is. So when I am designing a new funnel project or a launch or an offer or anything like that, what I do is I have a list of distribution sources. And this came to me one day. I was on an airplane flying back from somewhere. I think so. Anyway, I was planning a funnel and I was like, what are all the channels that I have access to? I have my Facebook profile, Facebook group, obviously email list, YouTube, podcast. I have several mini chat lists. I have phone numbers with people who've given me permission to give them a phone call or a text. That's very important, right? Or voicemail. Does that make sense? I have this, I have that. I could do a PR campaign. I could do an interview series. I could do a podcast series. I could do lots of strategic YouTube, which is always part of it. Does that make sense? And a huge list. And then what I started doing was I started thinking through each of those channels and what would have to happen on each of those channels in order to remove me from any kind of lead gen activities in the funnel post-launch. What would I have to do on each of those to remove me post-launch from a marketer's mindset, right? And marketing is measured in lead gen. right? Not views, not, does that make sense? Like, not that we don't measure those, but they're not the major KPIs that matter. All right. If it did not create a lead, it wasn't marketing. Bam. That's what I believe. Or at least action and intention toward becoming a lead, right? It's got to move the ball closer to the hole in some regard, whether it actually goes in the hole or people are just like, you know what? I think I'd be interested in that sometime, someday. Yeah, that was effective. All right. You're breaking beliefs along the whole way doing that. So I listed out all these distribution sources. And so think about that. Like, what are all the channels that you truly have access to? Online and offline. Start thinking about that. One of the ways I recruited so many people when I was a door-to-door sales guy was literally I went door-to-door to find door-to-door people. And I put flyers out. I used a direct mail campaign. It was actually, it was a flyer campaign. And I did that. I think I put out like, I don't know, I put out usually 200 each time, and I went out tons of times. I mean, I put out probably 2,000 flyers. And because of that, I recruited 12, 15 super good people who came and sold for me. Like, that's a distribution channel source. Does that make sense? And I'm saying this because too often we think that the only way to get traffic to something is with the internet. I'm not saying don't do that, but when you start to realize what you're really using the internet for, it's not just to go put another piece of content out. It is a lead gen place, right? And sometimes there's businesses, right, where we're collecting money as well on the internet. But there's a lot of businesses that have been around for much longer than all of our companies that need to use the internet in a different light. They want to use the internet, but they don't want to have point of sale be online, or they really high ticket stuff, or things that do require a phone call or a big consultation. Multi-million dollar sales. You still use the internet for all that, right? So what I've been doing is listing out. So think about this. List out all of the distribution channels that you have access to. Now, what I've noticed is that there are really two major KPIs that I want to track post-launch that indicate the likelihood of success. For a number of years, I would use different various forms of business planning styles. The one that I love now, though, is just, it's EOS. I love EOS. EOS has been absolutely fantastic. I've really, really enjoyed it. But EOS has allowed me to look at the entire company with a set of leading indicators, right? So there's lagging indicators and then there's leading indicators, right? For example, when I'm going to go get gas in my truck next, the leading indicator for that is the gas gauge. Does that make sense? That's what indicates the next action. The leading indicator that I'm going to get a sale is somebody opting in. It's the thing right in front of it, right? And so what I want to know is, okay, if I'm trying to remove myself from the funnel post-launch, what do I do? What are the things to watch versus what are the distractions? And the things to watch when you are post-launch, in my mind, are really two things. Again, besides systems. What we're doing is we're listing out all the distribution sources we have access to and what we're going to do on each one of them in an automated fashion. That involves building some kind of system or process that someone else executes. But I'm measuring it with two leading KPIs, two leading indicators. Number one, lead flow. All right, just like there's cash flow, there's lead flow, meaning what's the consistent beat of the drum leads that you get in your business? The consistent, right? Oh, you know what? A lead is different than an opt-in. I have another episode on that in this show. A lead is someone who has purchase interest. You're not sneaky, you know, you're not jumping up behind them and going, got an offer, right? Someone is a lead at their own choosing. You don't get to choose when someone's a lead. It's a psychological thing, right? It's a psychographic. It's when somebody says, you know what? Then they raise their hand. Tell me a little bit more about that. I would love to know just a little bit more about what it is. Tell me about this offer. That's a lead, right? That's different than an opt-in. And due to the nature of why they opt-in could easily decide whether or not it's a lead. If you're tricking them, not a lead. That's why it doesn't matter if someone hands you a list of 5 million people. If they don't have a relationship with you or know what you are or what you do, those aren't leads, right? So, all right. Get off that horse. But number one, lead flow. Do you track your daily lead flow? Do you know how many people opt in at a bare minimum every day. Do you track that? Do you report that? Like, that was one of the major KPIs I watched, even after right after I left my job, because I knew that if I tracked my list at a bare minimum, not only would it grow, right? And I reported it to the team almost every day, definitely weekly. And, or at least I would look at it. I'd be like, hey, like, this is where we are. This is where we need to be. And that's one of the major KPIs that we looked at. So without ads, how many people are coming to your thing each day? That's one of the reasons why we do so much on the YouTube front, on so much with the organic content piece. That way it creates an isolated asset outside of the paid ads world, right? So lead flow, number one, to each funnel, how many, right? So if you're like, hey, look, I get 10 people per day, which is great, right? 10 people per day coming to this thing organically. Sweet. If you literally just doubled the amount of people coming into the funnel, it's probably one of the easiest ways to double your company. You could take the time to get better at marketing. You could take the time to get better at, building your offer. You could tweak the funnel till kingdom come. But honestly, just doubling the amount of people who go into the funnel is probably one of the easiest ways to double your company. And it's probably one of the shortest distances to success in comparison to learning how to sell better or learning how to, build a better funnel. And I'm not saying don't do those things, but you get my point. Isn't that fascinating? That was part of the epiphany that I had. I was like, oh my gosh, just that one skill of all the skill sets that you could or should go learn post-launch to keep your baby floating, to transition from funnel to business. One of the shortest ones is actually just doubling the amount of people coming into the funnel. Granted, yes, make your follow-up sequence better, totally become a better person at sales, make a stronger offer, always make fulfillment incredible. Prioritize that heavily and support always. But isn't that fascinating though, from a sales perspective, of all these skill sets, just doubling the amount of people in front that are coming in. And so that one KPI right there, as I have automated things that I've certainly killed a lot of products and offers in the last, since the beginning of this year, but I have like three or four that are just always going to be there because they're my frameworks. It'd be the equivalent of me deleting Expert Secrets or my, I'm not going to do that. So I have three or four products that are just there, that are just always going to be there. They're just part of my frameworks and my legacy. And that's exactly what they are. So of those, this is where a lot of this comes from. I'm like, okay, those are great products. They've made money in the past. They've been very much involved in big launches. How do I automate them moving forward? Well, one of the ways I'm measuring funnels that once worked is just by measuring the daily leads that come into it. How many people go to it in a week? How many people, wow, that many still organically? That's amazing. No paid ads going to that? How could I double that? Fastest way to doubling the company. And then of course I'll do the other things too. Isn't that interesting? It just blew me away because my solution in the past to that was to do another launch. And I'm sure someone's gonna laugh or be like, you're just... Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. Realizing that?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, measuring daily lead flow as a shortest distance to success post-launch. Continued success post-launch, right? The second KPI that it directly relates, and that is quite literally pitch volume. Anytime I've had like my wallet gets a little light or cash flows down a little bit, all I got to do is look at my previous month and see how many times I actively pitched the market. And if I'm like, ooh, I don't know the last time I pitched the market, that's the problem. The number of times, Frank Kern even had a really interesting thing about this. He's like, you'll make money to the exact amount of offers that you put out in the marketplace. He said something to that effect. Not saying that you got to have a billion offers, but meaning pitch the marketplace. Pitch the marketplace frequently. So while you're measuring how many people are coming into your business area, sphere, opt-in leads every single day, right? You're measuring lead flow every day. You're also measuring how frequently you pitch, whether that be evergreened and automated webinar style, and it's always, someone can always go to it. Or my favorite way is to make like automated 1 month or automated campaigns each month. For example, like we have a challenge coming up called Content for Leads. And such an epic, it goes deep into the concepts I'm talking about actually. But it's meant for people who have a team, you know, at least one or two other people on their team who are probably multi six figures a year already. And it's meant to help them install these systems into their current team. So it's not on the entrepreneur's head. And the whole point is to double the organic lead flow during this 5-day challenge, or at least build the structure and then they can go off and build it. And so it's a super epic challenge. So like this Content for Leads challenge that we have coming on up, we will do that automated at the top of each month. Does that make sense? It's still live, but the sessions aren't. What's live is the sessions with the coaches. Kind of like how we did with the One Funnel Away challenge. I did it live several times, and then after that, we automated it. Sessions are still in there. Challenge is still a live campaign. The coaches are live with all the people, but they're watching. Hey, okay, number one, go watch the video from, you know, Russell, and then go watch the video from Steve. Sweet. Now come back for this Q&A that we're going to have. Does that make sense? So like that, you know, some aspect of it needs to be live for sure. So anyway, so while evergreening and automating these things, those are the things I'm looking at. Lead volume, pitch volume. That's it. Lead volume, pitch volume. How frequently are you asking the marketplace for money? If you can't remember the last time you ever did a pitch and aren't liking the amount of money in your hand right now, that's it. So think about, this is such a powerful concept that you can suck at being a salesperson and really only get like a sale every time. Just double your pitch volume, double the amount of people coming in to see the pitch. Your company's going to grow. Does that make sense? That's the point I'm trying to bring with this is like of all the skill sets, pitch more frequently, double the amount of people coming in. 10x, sure. Yeah, that's great. But it's so big, the 10x. It's usually a different business structure. You got to build like another funnel. Like there's so much stuff you got to go do. You could keep yourself from doing that all over again then just by doubling the amount of people that come into the funnel. That's why I'm all about the 2x. Like 10x, yeah. But post-launch, just double. And then guess what I'm going to do after that? I'll double it again. Guess what I'll do after that? I'll double again. And sure enough, yeah, two or three times later, I'm going to be 10xing from the original. But it's easier to manage that more bite size and you can see the path a lot clearer than going from, you know, 100 people a day into a funnel to 1,000 people a day in a funnel. That's a different model. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot you got to do there. So that's the whole point of this episode, guys. Think about, hey, go track number one, all the distribution channels that you actually have access to, paid and free. It's probably more than you realize, right? And the second part of that is to just list out what it is that you're doing on each of those channels. And if it's nothing, and you're like, why is the traffic low? That's probably it, right? The marketplace will do whatever you train it to do. And so if you're not asking it for money, if you're not asking them to become leads and it's not frequent, they forget who you are. They have this crazy half-life brain, you know, just the marketplace as a whole, just because it's loud. It's no one's fault. It's loud. Marketplaces are loud. There's so many of the companies competing for their attention as well. It's loud. Facebook is loud. And so distribution channels, what you're doing on each one of them, right? Number two is track these KPIs. And the first KPI to track is like, how many leads do I actually get per day? Can I double it? Right. And the second KPI is pitch volume. Pitch once a week minimum, right? Right. Or if you're like, man, I pitch barely, you know, once a month. That doesn't mean you have to be like, it does not mean you have to go learn certain pitch styles or become a master at, you know, but gosh, what a high ROI skill set. I'd strongly encourage you to do that, to learn things like the perfect webinar script, to learn how to go do webinars. Webinars still work, by the way. It's hilarious to me that people say that. Right? That's crazy. But let's say you're like, I don't want to do webinar. Sweet, then don't. Do your own challenge or do an event. Or do you realize that these are all just event styles. A webinar is an event. A challenge is an event. Live events obviously are an event. A summit is an event. Marketers are just event throwers. That's all we do. We throw events, we coordinate them, put them all together, and then we throw the event, which is really just a reason to get a bunch of people together and pitch them. So you have to look at yourself as a salesperson. You are. Especially if you're a solo entrepreneur or near solo, you only have a few people on a team, like sales is still probably squarely on your shoulders. How do you measure success of the funnel post-launch? How many people are coming in? How frequently are you asking them for money? All right. And those two right there, bam. All right. I feel like I'm going to say the same thing over and over again, but that's been really, really powerful as just in wrap up why what Marley and I have been building together is very different than what I first was building. We're not really in the machine. We get sales without our involvement. Onboarding is epic. Our fulfillment systems are so eloquent. They are so good. I've rebuilt them many times. And I'm sure I will again. They usually take me a week or two for our main core thing. And then we have a new service coming out. We found out that a lot of people, we have quite a number of people in our Done For You service. Meaning, not like hundreds, right? We want fewer clients and we just go deeper with them. So not only are we helping with their leads, we're helping with funnel strategy, value ladder strategy. I do a lot with their messaging. And that's all part of the YouTube Lead Machine Done For You service that we have. But there's also a lot of people we found that want what we do, but have a team. And they're like, we don't want you to do it for us. Just teach my team how to do it instead. And so we're like, oh, okay, cool. So we have another tier of Done For You where we're still going to edit videos, but we're going to install the system using your team. It's really cool. So you see what we're doing now. That's why we're doing the Content for Leads Challenge. It's 5 days, $47. Go to contentforleads.com. You can check it out. And what it is it's we're calling it BYOT, bring your own team. You come in, pay once for your whole team to come on in. We do that just because those who pay attention. If someone can't afford $47, like they're definitely not our dream customer. We're talking to, you know, multi-six-figure and above companies, people who typically have, you know, one or two employees or full-time 1099s. And that's kind of the audience that this is, and that company as a whole is positioned for, is those who already have a funnel that's running, you know, those who already have most likely a YouTube channel or at least a video that's out, whether or not they're consistent, they're not afraid of the camera, and they're not afraid to be attractive characters. Does that make sense? Like that's really like, so see how narrow I'm speaking right now? I care more about psychographics than I do about demographics or geographics when talking about dream customers. And I have other episodes on that. But that's really what we're doing though, is we have the second tier that's come out and we're very excited to be putting it out. And so this challenge will be introducing it in kind of like a, hey, come wet your whistle, figure out a little bit more about what we're talking about with this, because we've kind of invented a neat model. I haven't seen any others do this, so I'm excited about it. But anyway, we're pumped about it. So if you want more of this and you're like, hey, this sounds awesome, I need more help in that area, want to know how to remove me post-launch, go to contentforleads.com. And the whole notion is, we're not saying don't ever use ads for leads, but certainly learn how to know you had to use content for leads. That way you at least have some security and a, you know, where the recession's here. Like, you should control your own traffic source. You know what I mean? So anyway, go to contentforleads.com. You can see the dates for the next one. And we're pumped to have you. So, alrighty, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening. Go track those KPIs. Let me know. I love hearing when people apply what they've learned from the show. I don't care how you tell me, whether it be Instagram or Facebook or in the Capitalist Pigs, you know, Facebook group, which all are welcome to join. It's just a group of all of us who know that getting rich is not an evil thing. Come and let me know what it is that you do with these and the outcome of it. I love hearing that. So, and I did do a post recently about all the things that you guys are still wanting me to talk about in the show. And I appreciate that. I've seen that and I will do that. I will be getting a little more detailed per funnel. Here's the e-com funnel. Here's that funnel, you know, so on and so forth. So that'll be coming up here soon. I also am going to be interviewing more people. I like to interview big people. I either interview clients or big people. That's kind of my two criteria for who I interview on the show. So I'm going to be doing more interviews here soon, which I'm very much looking forward to, and pulling in more of that. I'm a little bit entering Funnel Hacking Live mode and also excited to go crush there. So you guys are awesome. Thanks so much. We'll see you later. Thanks for listening to the show. Go to contentforleads.com and let us show you how to install content systems and machines that are independent of the ad space. Awesome, guys. Bye. Okay, imagine this. You open your computer one morning and you're ready to work. And then you open up your ad spend stats, horrified at how expensive it's become to buy a new customer. This happened to me yesterday, actually. You open your latest post to see that half of it has been censored or it's no longer being shared or spread around by the algorithms. And then your heart rate runs a little bit hotter as you check to see how many leads you've gotten the day before, then the week before, on, uh-oh. And the numbers in the funnels over the last month and even the last quarter are all showing the same pattern, right? You are in trouble. And as you fight the urge to create yet another offer that you can sell to your existing buyers, because you're not finding any new buyers as quickly now, right? You ask yourself, self, where can I get leads? The Zucker Sucker and Big Brother seems to have the real control over the health of my business. And so the question emerges, how can you get leads when your ad spend isn't reliable and your current content isn't getting people into the funnel? All while feeling the effects of a recession and currency that's worth much less and less, and social media platforms that are really making it challenging to win online. Oh my gosh, that's kind of like the situation we're in today. That's happening right now. What key moves could you make with your team in the next 6 months to replace and control your current lead flow so that you're no longer dependent on ads for leads? All right, this scenario is what we're all in right now. So Marley Jackson and I have created a 5-day challenge called Content for Leads, teaching exactly this. Okay, any internet entrepreneur can join, but it's really meant for 6 to 7 figure earners where they can bring a team member with them so that we can show you how to install all this stuff into your business with your team right there by producing content for leads. So go to contentforleads.com now, and you'll see when the next 5-day challenge is running. I'm excited to build this with you. This is a long-term traffic asset that will convert viewers into customers, right? And I'm equally excited for you to bring a team member, which probably is gonna be the marketer or video person on your team. That way we can show you how to start installing all this stuff as well. So go to contentforleads.com and get signed up. We're excited to see you there.